This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
It all started, I remember the first time I became extremely agitated is when my bubby gave me a kiss. I didn't like that. That's when I first learned that I had an issue with germs. Didn't like them. And bubby would give me a wet, big old sloppy kiss.
She had whiskers, too.
Oh, yeah. You know. Yeah, oh, you know, when you go through menopause, you stop producing estrogen. You start, I don't want to say looking like a man, but, you know, you start growing hair in places you don't usually grow hair, you know.
Yep. Great-grandma Mary had the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
She used to give me those big old smoochies.
Yeah.
And it was just, it hurt. It hoit.
Oh, because
the whiskers.
She had
some coarse-ass whiskers, boy.
It's not
right on the chin.
Yeah, it's
right
not good.
There. I mean, better than mine. I'm jealous that I didn't have her.
You wish you grew hair like her?
Yeah. She had some girth to it, you know?
Nice. Yeah. Well, yeah, I remember Bubby giving me these wet, sloppy kisses, and I remember thinking, well, this can't be good. It's not even, obviously you can't see germs, you can't really feel germs, but I associated the wet sliminess with just, like, filth, you know?
Yeah.
Body fluids on your face.
God, her old teeth. You know, not, I'm sure she brushes her teeth. I'm sure
of
your
course.
Bubby did. And my great-grandma Mary brushed her teeth, no doubt. But they've been in her mouth for 90 years.
Absolutely.
So there's only so much you can do before your teeth are just like, yeah, this is...
Sure, yeah. It wasn't a good time. And if it was anybody, it would have been problematic. But yes, it was exacerbated by her age. Because like you said, I'm like, she's old, you know? And then I thought, if she's unaware of this, what else is she unaware of? Does she have poo-poo in her pants? Like,
Definitely,
I didn't know.
100%.
All of these things are going through my mind as a six-year-old child. And I wouldn't scream and cry. I feel like it was way more like, I don't want to say serial killer-esque, but I would calmly remove myself from the room, sit in another room, like, say, a family room where no one was at, everyone was dining, and I would just remove myself, and then I would just scratch my face. Just like my,
you didn't
my
think to just go like wash your face off. In the
I felt like that. I did that, but it was like it wasn't enough.
Still
like I would wash it. I would rub it with soap, and then I would just like scratch it, like try to scratch it off.
Literally, just getting the cells.
Yes,
off
like
your
remove
body.
Exactly, wow. Exactly. And I would just sit there and scratch. And I remember my parents being like, "This isn't normal behavior."
Did you have the concept of what cells were, and that's
no.
what you were literally doing? So it was like shaving off your.
I knew that germs were small, like little, I guess I imagined them as like little creatures or whatever.
Okay.
And so I was trying to get the little creatures off my face.
But then didn't freak you out that they'd be under your fingernails or anything? That didn't bother you?
I don't know. I just felt like your face is very intimate. You have lots of orifices, the ears, the nose, the mouth. Those are the things you need to cover during sickness.
Yeah.
Your fingers are a lot more durable. You know what I mean? You can touch dirty things and wash your hands. This is how it all kind of equated in my brain, which makes sense because literally when things are bad and there's Ebola going around, what are people wearing? Masks around their nose and mouth. That's what you have to cover. So I just remember like scratching my face. I don't know if I ever had like blood coming out of my face, but it wasn't a good situation. So that was when I was six, and I'm pretty much still like that today. So.
But now you can kind of control it. Now you're more aware of it.
I'm very aware of it, but honestly, sometimes it got a little out of control this morning, too.
Why? With what?
Just like me touching things a million times, like especially when I'm alone and there's nobody to be like embarrassed in front of. That's when I typically get out of control. Not out of control where I'm, you know, Rain Man status, but it's like it'll be a tour.
You can
allow
yourself to do it with no judgment. Nobody being like, hey, what are you doing, weirdo?
Right. Or I will literally like look at something a million times. Like it's really crazy.
I have that with locking the door.
Yeah.
Locking the door is my thing. Either when I leave the house and I go, I locked. You lock the door. Come on. And then I go, let me just go look. And then
right.
I go look. Lock. When I get home at night, same thing. I'll be in bed. I was asleep last night.
Yeah.
Totally asleep. Got jarred out. Did I lock the door? Jarred out of sleep. And I was like, yes, you did. This is the conversation I'm having with myself, by the way, which is insane.
Yeah.
I go, you better go check. I went, oh, damn it. Crawled out of bed.
Uh-huh.
Door was locked.
Of course.
Went back to bed. Took me half an hour to go to sleep.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to sleep till like 3:30.
Yeah, but at least those rituals are somewhat based in reason. Like, it is useful for you to double-check that you've locked a door because that could be unsafe, perhaps. Like, me looking at something a million times isn't going to do anything.
And that goes back to, because that's one of my biggest fears, is being murdered. So, and we talked about it last night.
Dude, I think about that every day.
Just opening up your eye, like, you're in a sleep, and then you just, you get jarred awake, and then there's just some creep standing over, and you just see the muzzle flash. Boom! And then that's your last
thing. Dude, that's like best case scenario.
Best case scenario.
That is best case
scenario.
Dude, I think about that and I wonder if I'm the only one. I know I'm not. I'm a weirdo, but I know that other people are weirdos, but they just keep it to themselves. So I'm so glad that I have this mic in front of me to be weird in front of everyone. But I think about that all the time. You know, you hear about on the news like a couple, like a week ago, they're like, oh, this guy is a serial killer, killed 93 women from like the 70s to the 90s. And people go, that's crazy. That's a lot of women. Oh, do you want a salad? What do we want to eat for lunch? And I'm like, oh my God, 93 women he murdered. Like, they never saw their families again. What it would be like to be murdered. I think about that sometimes. Oh, I don't even want to say it out loud. It's horrible.
It's like, it's very unlikely, but it does happen. You know, I mean, and it could very well happen to you. You could be murdered. You in the sense of everybody out there listening.
Okay,
like,
don't
never
look
know
at me and say that.
I'm looking at you because I'm talking to you. I'm also talking to everybody out there, of course. But yeah, you could get murdered. Somebody could just come in your house and stab
that
you to death, cut your head off.
Horrible,
do weird stuff,
horrifying.
To
you know, and people just like, because here's the thing: you only have a capacity to care about so many people. Maybe I would say 5 to 7. After that, it's like, oh, that's unfortunate. Anyways, you know, you don't really care. You can't. You don't have enough compassion juice in the compassion tank. You know, so when you hear about strangers and horrible things happening to them, you just got to go, oh, that sucks, and then move on. Otherwise, you would just be so depressed all the time, you wouldn't be able to get out of bed. So, but every once in a while, I like indulge and I go, oh my God, what if that was me? You know, like that experience of like meeting somebody and they jump out of their car and you know you're gonna die. Like,
God, or the like the ISIS videos, the beheading videos.
I absolutely do not watch.
My brain's went there a few times. Where you're like,
you
that
watch
would
those?
Be, I've seen
that's
them before.
Sick,
I don't. I can't do it now. But when I was like a kid, you know,
that's
you
a kid.
Oh, teenager.
You'd watch those videos?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
There was one that really stuck with me.
Don't.
You don't want to hear about it?
No, I don't. I
think
honestly
the people
don't.
Would want to hear about it. I'll make it not super
too
gruesome.
Gruesome.
But it was during the Chechenian War, I think it was, and it was two Russian soldiers, or maybe it was the Russian soldier that got caught, and they just had these two guys had their boots on this guy's head, and he was down on the ground, and they just stuck a knife, just like a big hunter's knife, just right in the guy's throat.
Yeah,
and it was really bad, and then just started sawing.
Oh, God.
That's one that's burned in my brain, too, that I'll never be able to unsee.
I can't watch that
and
stuff.
And shortly after that, I was like, yeah, this isn't for me. I can't do these.
I remember reading I didn't finish it, but like most things, like my degree. The Steven Pinker wrote a book about the decline of violence, which most people don't believe exists, but
it does.
Trust me, it is the case. I mean, maybe more people are dying because there's just more people on Earth, but proportionally, people are dying far less than they used to, say, you know, in the medieval times and before that. Because again, we were all warring tribes, you know, 40,000 years ago as hunter gatherers. But anyways, he detailed. And in gruesome detail, the way that people would kill each other during medieval times just for, like, entertainment, you know, like quartering people. He went through all these, like, torturing devices where, like, you'd get stuck on something and then it would, like, pull you along and you just go on, like, a bunch of spikes. Like, people were very, very innovative on how to torture other human beings, you know. It wasn't just beheadings. It wasn't just stabbings. It was, like, things that took you a while to die. Think about crucifixion, which they still do these days, people, if you didn't know. Like, that is a horrible way to die because you're nailed to a cross. And it wasn't just Jesus that was crucified, people. Lots of people were crucified.
Oh, they're doing it now.
And like I said, they're still doing it. They do it in Saudi Arabia all the time. and you just hang there and you essentially just dehydrate to death. Or I guess that's... bleed out. I'm not quite sure.
You. If you don't bleed out, eventually, and then you're out in the sun and just being just burned by the sun and then dehydrated. Like, it'll get you in a few days.
Yeah, man.
But, I mean, it could be days of just pain. It's brutal.
I was
really
thinking about that. Oh, God, this is horrible. But I think it happened in Tampa, maybe. I'm not quite sure where. Maybe Land O'Lakes. I can't remember. Recently, a day or two ago, like a one-year-old left in a Jeep all day. What are people doing? Like leaving their dogs and their kids in a hot car? Like what? And why is it happening so regularly? Have I just not been aware of it before? Or is there like a spike in people leaving their animals and their children in hot cars? Like what the hell's going on?
I don't know. Sometimes I feel, I don't know if it's true or not, but sometimes I feel like the media grabs a hold of something and then they just report like every occurrence. When it really doesn't happen more, it's just like a story that gets a lot of clicks.
Uh-huh.
So then they go, ooh, okay, so we'll just report on every single
so it's
one of these.
Reporting bias, where?
I don't know. I mean,
okay.
I don't know. That's what
we're
I
speculating.
Feel like might be I'm speculating here, but I feel like just like when the people driving the wrong way, that was a big thing. Like, that was happening all the time. And they'll still report on it every now and again, but I'm wondering, like, is it happening less? Or are they just, they kind of, you know, beat a dead horse there, now they don't report on it as much. You
Could
know
be
what
the
I mean? Because there was like, remember every week, there was, oh, somebody got a pop for
wrong
a DUI
way.
Driving the wrong way.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then so the roads didn't change. They didn't do anything to the roads, right?
Uh-huh.
So that didn't change, but now you don't hear about it as much. So I think that's part of it. And then you get convinced that this is an epidemic and a problem.
Sure. I mean, it could be just a coincidence where there's like three or four cases that happen and it just, you know, happens collectively at the same time. It seems unlikely,
but
crazy.
Yes, it could happen.
Yeah, you know, stranger things have happened. But yeah, I don't know what's going on with especially people in Florida and leaving their animals and their children in like a hot car. They just overheat to death. It's just insane to me.
Thanks for tuning in to the HMB Sides right here on HMB Radio. Make sure you subscribe on your favorite podcast feed. Just search HMB Radio Tampa Bay. And don't forget about The Homemade Broadcast, which releases every Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. on HMBRadio.com. Have a great weekend.